All right, this 12th verse again. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajoth, which means high place, or to be high. And they settled first southeast of Palestine, and then they wandered for pasture and came up to Kedar. And we read of Kedar in even in Song of Solomon about the tents of Kedar, remember? And I'm going to leave it up to each of you. If you want to get into this and really study it, you can. It's quite a study, as all the word is. But all of these are wonderful truths that the Lord can bring us into. So they settled southeast. And the next one here is Kedar, and which means dark-skinned. And these were a great tribe, and they seem to be one of the most conspicuous of all the Ishmaelitic tribes. Can't even talk tonight. And they settled northwest on the boundary of Palestine. They were to be east. They're all right here. Lebanon, all of these are part of the Ishmaelites. And then the next one we have is Adbeel, which means the offspring of God. And it also means languishing for God. And all of these are, we call them Arabs today. And the next one here is Mibsam, which means a sweet odor. Now there are some among these people that are born again, and that's what's so wonderful, that some of them will even be in the bridal company because they're from every nation. And then the fifth one is Mishma in the 14th verse, and it means a hearing, A-G-A-R-I-N-G. And then Duma means silence, and I want to read this one in Isaiah 21:11. Silence. It's wonderful. All through this word, it just fits together like it's one. The Holy Spirit wrote it all. Isaiah 21:11. The burden or the oracle concerning Duma is in the margin. He calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return and come. And all of this is the invasion of the nation Israel. So much in all of this. All right, the next one after Duma is Massa, the seventh one, and that is burden, means burden. And they were in the east of Arabia, near the borders of Babylonia. And remember who was from Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. See, they settled all down there. And then the next one was that Massa? Yes. And then the next one is Hadar, or Hadad, is another name for Hadar. Is Hadad is the one used most. His Hadad means mighty, and he appears to have been an official one, like a title. This Hadad, like a title, like Pharaoh was a title. So Hadad was more like a title. But he was an Ishmaelite. Then the ninth one is Tema, which means a desert. And all of these settled around the Persian Gulf, of which we hear a lot about today. In fact, this is where the latest aircraft carrier from this country went, was into the Persian Gulf. All right, the next one is Jeter, and his name means defense, or he that keeps, and also means enclosure. And his land was called Jether, and it was on the northwest border of Palestine at the base of Mount Hermon. Now, you can look these up in your Bible dictionary, and they are very profitable. And it's interesting that the one-half tribe of Manasseh that didn't cross over into Jordan took this land from Jeter. It was their inheritance. They took it away from Jeter. All right, the next one here that we have is Naphish, and his name means refreshment, and it also means to take breath or to take rest. And they settled west of the Jordan. Now, just in what area, we'd have to find some maps, which I didn't want to take time to do all today. Then the last one is Kedema. His name means eastern. And he dwelt near his brother Kedar, which was the second son. They were called, and I want to go over to Jeremiah and read this, Jeremiah 49:28. You get enthralled in this word, it's hard to leave it. Can understand why some of the dear ones that are with the Lord now just couldn't leave the word when they got into it. Jeremiah 49:28. Concerning Kedar and concerning the kingdoms of Hazar, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite, thus saith the Lord, arise ye, go up to Kedar, and spoil the men of the east, spoil them. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains. And remember, they all lived in tents, and all their vessels and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. This is the judgment upon Babylon that is coming, speaking here. So the sons of the east here applies to all of the posterity of Ishmael, all these sons of the east. And they are the ones that are trying to defeat Israel today. Let's turn to Psalms 83 before we get back into Hosea. Psalms 83, and when you have your Treasuries of David book, get into some of these psalms that we refer to and read from, because they have more in them than what we're able to bring out in a lesson. Psalms 83, I want to start with the first verse. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. This could be a wonderful day when he's no longer silent. Man doesn't even acknowledge him today. They go ahead and do what they want to do, and they don't even think about him. God is not even in their thoughts. I'm going to plan my day, and I'm not even going to think about him. But he's going to speak one of these days. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. Now remember, these are people that are enemies of God and his people. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Remember who just said that? The leader of Iran. This very thing. That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. This is up to date news. This is what is being said today. And these sons of Ishmael do not want Isaac around anymore, the nation Israel. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. They're against God. This consulted means literally they have cut or formed a covenant against thee. And this is what they will be doing here. And they have no doubt made some minor covenants now, but the covenant is what's coming. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. Now Moab, and let's read the next verse, Jebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with inhabitants of Tyre. All of these countries, Moab and Ammon, were sons of Lot by his daughters. And they are the ones who today, that if you get another map, they're down through here. And the Lord told, when Israel went through the land, they told them not to meddle with the Ammonites or the Moabites, to leave them alone. Lot, Abraham's nephew, chose what he wanted. He wanted the world. I was reading that. He wanted the plains of Jordan, and Jordan means death. He chose that. And when God began to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, he had to go in and take Lot by the hand and pull him out. You know God's people today that are like that? Lot was a righteous man. He was saved. But he didn't want to leave the world. God had to pull him out. And when he did tell him where to go, Lot said, oh, not so, Lord. Hear God's people say that today? Oh, not so, Lord. I don't want to go to meeting tonight. The Lord says together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Many times we say, oh, not so, Lord. I have other things I've got to do. Do you ever hear that today? We hear a lot. We could read the rest of this, but I believe you would all profit by going in and getting your study book out. Learn to study. Oh, I tell you, it's marvelous. And I know some of you do, and I praise the Lord that you are. Some of you are studying Ezekiel. Some are studying Revelation. And I don't know what else some of you are studying, but I know Yeah, Second Samuel, Moses, really in that. She's studying that. You know, it's wonderful to study this again. So let's go back to Hosea 9 now, and we're going to get into some. We wanted to bring this in tonight because of, so we can understand. We can understand. Some of us don't fully comprehend the reason all of this is going on over there today. We don't. But it's because God put them out of the land, because Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. And God didn't give him an inheritance in that land. He says, you go into the desert. That's your land. All right, let's go back now here in Hosea 9. And as we saw in our last lesson, we went into the first verse, and I believe we'll go over it again to refresh our minds. This title of this chapter is The Days of Visitation Are Come. And here God is rebuking Israel because she was wayward and she was sinning and against him. And they were worshiping idols of the nations that God told them not to do. And we gave you the division of this chapter, and we'll give it again. Verses 1 and 2 is the death of joy. Verses 3 to 6 is the exile from their land. And what impressed us today, before we got into study, was the fact that when God carried Israel, because of their disobedience, away out of the land, he carried them under the authority, or they were put under the authority as slaves under the Ishmaelites. They went into this land. God made them to stay in the land if they'd obey the Lord, but they didn't, and God put them right under the Ishmaelites. All these countries, the ones that God put out of the land, they had to be under their control. They were slaves. They were all, in fact, they were all slaves all over the world because of their disobedience. Disobedience is a serious thing with the Lord, very serious. All right, verses 3 to 6, the exile from their land. Verses 7 to 9 is the loss of spiritual discernment, and this is very sad. And verses 10 to 16 is a declining birth rate, and verses 17 is God casting them out. In this first verse, he tells them to rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. Now God speaks these words to Israel when they had made a peace league with King Pul of Assyria, who was an Ishmaelite, and his other name was Tiglath-Pileser. He reigned from 745 to 727 BC, and much of the land of the north of Israel was in his hands at this time when Hosea writes this letter. And they were celebrating, Israel, the 10 tribes, were celebrating this fall festival, and they were dancing and singing, but they were not in harmony with God. And the reason that God tells them to rejoice not is because they had gone a-whoring, as we read here, from their God. He was not their husband. They had rejected him. They didn't want to obey him. They didn't want to honor him. They didn't offer these sacrifices unto him. Their sacrifices were offered unto these idols. And it's being done today. Things that belong to God are being offered up for a worldly desire. All right, we'll move on. In the second verse, he says, the floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. Israel thought they could gain an abundance by going after these other lovers. This is what Hosea's wife thought she could do, that she could gain more. But Israel was giving credit to King Pul of Assyria for her abundance rather than the Lord. Many Christians are doing this same thing today. Same thing today. These are serious things with the Lord. And the Lord needs to give us each one a heart to understand this. This third verse says, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land. Notice, in the Lord's land. But Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Israel had been the object of God's loving care and his kindness. When he brought them out of Egypt, he loved them. He still did, but he had to turn his back on them. But now, in their rebellion, they were out of communion with him. When we rebel against the things of the Lord and don't obey him, he cuts off communion. We cannot, he won't, if we won't listen to him, he's, Brother Hill in Denver used to say, God's a gentleman. He will not invade into a heart that doesn't want him. And if we don't want to walk with the Lord, he'll stay out. God's a gentleman. We have the privilege of having communion with him. And there can't be any true happiness or any true joy without him. Their rejoicing was not for him. I want to read a scripture in Hebrews 11:35. This is regarding Moses. When Moses was in Pharaoh's court for 40 years, wasn't it? Yes, 40 years. He was trained in Pharaoh's court, and he could have stayed there. He could have been a ruler over Egypt. But let's read 11:25-24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. How many of God's people have respect for him today? This word esteeming means he accounted the reproach of Christ greater riches. The word choosing means to take for oneself. He chose that, to suffer affliction with the people of God. Praise the Lord. So he, by faith, he forsook Egypt. He left Egypt. Egypt speaks of the world, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And the next 40 years, he was in the desert, preparing to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then when he was 80 years old, he went back, and he brought Israel out of Egypt, out of the world. And now they're turning their back upon the one who brought them out, the Lord himself. Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's all we do. I liked, and it was precious what was brought out Friday night about sin. We're born into this world in sin. Now think of that. And if we don't accept the Lord, the only thing we carry out is sin. We don't take anything with us. We gather all this stuff, can't take one thing with us. The only thing that God will take up to glory is his life that's within us. He doesn't even take this old body of clay. It stays down here. Psalm 16:11, it says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. All eternity will have real pleasure. In this fourth verse of Hosea 9, he says, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord. Now he's going to take them into Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Now, we some of us might look on this kind of lightly, but we'll be the loser if we do. This was a serious thing. God took them into nations that hated them. The world doesn't like us. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners, defiled bread. All that eat thereof shall be polluted for their bread, for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. God cut them off from his temple, and they could not eat of his sacrifice. I want to go over to Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, and I want to read this concerning Ezekiel, because he was carried away also. And he gave all the visions that Ezekiel had, and we're going to come back to Ezekiel later on in the study tonight. The visions that he had was by the river Chebar, I believe is the name of that river. Yeah, the river Chebar. God gave him those visions. But I want to read from the fourth chapter and the ninth verse. Here he's in the land of Babylon. And the Lord tells him, now the Lord's talking to Ezekiel. He says, take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. For those who are studying Ezekiel, read this. This was quite something. The Lord told him to lay on his side for 390 days. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to do that for the Lord? To eat what he had to eat? He did. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. It told him even how much to eat. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of an hin. From time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. Now just think of this. He did this for a sign. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted. For from my youth up, even till now, have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces. Neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity. There's going to be a famine. There was a famine that came upon Israel, and there is a famine coming upon this country today. There's much that is happening, and if we had eyes to see and understand what's in this word, we would know what's coming. We would know it. We will not go on like we're going in this country. There's going to be a famine coming, and it's going to be the worst famine that man has ever had. Ezekiel here, he had to eat this defiled bread in Babylon, and his eating of it showed how defiled the nation of Israel had become. This land that we live in is in that condition today. In Hosea, this is called the bread of mourners in this fourth verse. It was abhorrent to Ezekiel, but it was much more abhorrent to God to view Israel's corruption. God looks at his people today that aren't yielding to him, and it hurts him. It hurts him. Do you love him enough not to hurt him? This is what we think of anymore. We're going to stand before him one of these days, and we don't have to hurt him. We can obey him every step of the way. And he asks in this fifth verse, he says, what will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? I love some of the commentators, what they have to say on this. Now they were in this land. The time for the feast days came. He says, what are you going to do, you Israelites, when you're in the land? They had been lured by the world, stimulated by pride, and they had unholy ambitions and were drawn away from the one who delivered them out of Egypt. A picture of God's people today. Many of them are lured by the world. What the world has out there for me. In their rebellious condition and scattered among the nations, what would they do when God's appointed feast days came? What would they do? They were among worldly strangers, and they could not keep the Lord's feast, which they held even in light esteem while they were in the land. They didn't esteem the Lord. They gave the credit. They rejoiced in their feast days. They rejoiced in their idols. And I like what one brother said. He said, a saint of God who once sings songs of victory cannot sing when he's taken captive by sin. I want to read Psalms 137. This is a serious thing, saints. That's why the Lord is having us give these lessons out. We can't take these things serious. We can't take them lightly, I mean. Psalms 137, first verse. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. This is how they felt. They were among strangers. Did you ever, as a saint of God, get among people who didn't know the Lord? And you chose to go there? And yet you wanted to be with the people of God? You really did want to. But that fleshly desire overruled. And you couldn't be with, when we had communion Sunday. you couldn't be there to have communion, which is one of the ordinances of the church. God wants us to keep this feast to remember his death and resurrection until he comes again. That's one of the ordinances, and water baptism is the other one. They said here, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us, notice, wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can you sing anything about the Lord in a bunch of unworldly people, worldly people that aren't even yielding to the Lord, that don't even want to talk about the Lord? How can you sing? How can you talk about the Lord? That's the condition they were in. If fifth verse here, he says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her coming. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. This is what they did when they went in to Jerusalem. And I won't read any more there. But a saint of God who once sings songs of victory cannot sing when they're taken captive by sin, by the flesh. And it's the flesh that gets its way. The flesh sings songs of the world, but you can't sing songs of the Lord among worldly people. This is the condition Israel was in. In this sixth verse of Hosea 9, he says, for lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis, and I noticed here on the map, here we have Memphis right here. This is, I'll read this. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. They were gone from their land because of the destruction by Assyria. Over here, the Ishmaelites, they came in and they destroyed. So they had gone to Egypt, to the world, and Egypt here shall gather them up for common and wholesale burial. Memphis shall bury them. If you yield to the wages of sin is what? That's God's word. That's God's word. Egypt shall gather them up for common and wholesale burial. Memphis at this time was the capital city of Egypt. And these pleasant places, he talks about the pleasant places for their silver. That is, their silver shall be desired, and they shall be wounded by thorns and nettles. All of their silver will be taken from them. The world will get it instead of the Lord. The Lord has a reason for tithing. He has a reason for giving offerings, because it's the Lord's money. And Malachi says, ask them in Malachi about robbing the Lord. Did you ever think of that? When we don't tithe, we're robbing him. We rob him in more ways than that. We rob him of us, of our body. We don't let him have control of us. In 1 Timothy 6, if you'll turn there, I love this word, as you folks know, and when we begin to give scriptures out like this, it just almost tears us apart to realize that there are so many that really don't want to hear the word. They've got their own plans. They've got their own things to do that they think is more important than God and his word. And we enter into suffering because they're going to have to suffer. 1 Timothy 6 in the 10th verse. Now I want to read the 9th. Well, let's start with the 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment here means you're free from murmuring and complaining. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out that we gain by here. Sin's the only thing we carry out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, they set their heart upon it, that will be rich, fall into temptation and a snare or a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown or plunge men in destruction and perdition or misery. For the love, the grasping of money, is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now this is God's word, and God's word is T-R-U-E. He means what he says. These nettles over here and these thorns, Israel was pierced through with them. And this is what will happen to a saint of God who is grasping for money instead of the things of God. Let's read this 7th verse now in Hosea. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. They say the prophet is a fool. Israel was saying this. The prophet is a fool, and the spiritual man is mad. Now, I know this is said regarding some of us that give out the word. They consider we're a little bit, but this is what they say, well, you're overzealous. You can't be overzealous for the things of the Lord. They say the prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad. Yes, I've heard this. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. This is what Israel said in their unbelief. The days of visitation, the visit with hostile intent. This is when the nations are going to come against, and they did come against Israel at this time. The days of recompense would be the days of retribution. See, God is going to visit this world with his retribution because they reject his son. And every day, a lot of God's people reject his son. They don't want to walk with him. They don't want to do what he says. And it's very easy to do it if you walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the holy nature in us, that we're partakers of his divine nature, it's God. It's his holy nature that is within us, that's willing to obey. It's willing to walk with him. It's willing to do what he says. They were calling the true prophet a fool and the spiritual man mad in their unbelief. When we don't believe God and a true prophet gives out the word and it hurts the one who doesn't want it, which Israel didn't want, this is what they say in their unbelief. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to obey. And there are many of God's faithful and true prophets who were moved by the Holy Spirit and were regarded in this way by rebellious Israel. Now, I'm going to read one here in just a little bit. We can look at almost every one of them that gave out God's word and wrote it down. And they were persecuted by Israel in their unbelief. They didn't want to even listen to that word. Let's go back to Ezekiel, first chapter. What the Lord spoke to me about in this chapter, about this, what he tells him to do, is before he ever tells Ezekiel to do anything, he gives him this vision, in the first chapter. In the first verse, he says, now it came to pass in the first chapter, came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives, he was in Babylon, by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And the 4th verse, the 3rd verse, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. This term, the hand of the Lord, is mentioned 7 times in this book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon him. And the Lord's hand is upon some of us. He will not let us do the things that would bring dishonor to his name. And he saw this in the 4th verse. He saw this whirlwind coming out of the north. And I'm not going to go into all of this. If you want to study this, get our study book on Ezekiel. This is a marvelous. He saw the living creatures coming. And these were a type of the bridal company. Their feet were straight forward. The sole of the 7th verse, their feet were straight feet. Their sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. They were sacrificial. They sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man, speaks of their humanity. The ninth verse, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. They didn't turn to the right hand or to the left. They let the world go by. Their eyes were upon the prize. As Glenn was speaking Sunday about the race. If you want to get on the race course, you got to step out on the race course. You can't stand alongside and expect to run a race. You've got to get on that course. And your eyes have to be on the goal. You watch racers. They don't turn around and look at somebody behind them. Their eyes are upon Christ. Instead of occupied with this thing over here, that thing over there. They turn not where they went. The likeness of their faces, in the 10th verse, they had the face of a man, which speaks of Luke, Christ in Luke. The face of a lion, Christ in Matthew, that was on their right side. They four had the face of an ox, Mark, Gospel, Jesus seen as an ox, a sacrificial one. On their left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. They were heavenly people. John's Gospel speaks of him as a heavenly one. And wherever the Spirit went, they went. In the 21st verse, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The wheels speak of God's word. God gave Ezekiel this message, these visions, before he ever told him what he was going to do. Thank the Lord. Now, after this, in the 28th verse, the first chapter, he says, as for the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance and of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. He saw all of this. He saw the living creatures, the bridal company, already in glory. And he wrote this down so that we could know what it is to be a living creature. The spirit of the living creature was in the wheels, in the will of God. The spirit of the Lord is in the will of God. It's not in our will. Study that chapter. The second chapter, this voice, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Ezekiel was so overwhelmed with his vision that the Lord had to actually lift him up upon his feet. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. An impudent person is a terrible person to be around. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do not send thee unto them. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. God's people that don't want to listen to him now will know there's been a prophet among them in this place. Israel knew it, and so will God's people today who are here in this city and don't want to come. And some have been here and still don't want to come. And thou, son of man, sixth verse, be not afraid of them. I love this. Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there were written therein lamentations and mourning and woe, judgment. Now that's not the end of it. But I want to mention here, he says, nor be dismayed at their looks. There's